Amen. Good evening. You know, when you consider that this is the back end of spring break and OU tips off in about 15 minutes, and this isn't a bad crowd, really, all things, and certainly not Hans. So, yeah, surprise, it's really me. You never know who has your back and who cares about you until you get to do stuff like this. And I had several people come up and talk to me and give me advice. Jim Scaff came up and said, "Don't be nervous, brother. You're just going to be live streamed all over the world." And, of course, Ray and Roy have been praying me up. And Ken Lay said, you know, speak from the heart, let God do the work. And some of the best advice, though, came from Dwayne Fisher in his years of experience. He said, make sure your pants are zipped. So I think we're good. I do want to thank Hans and Roy and Ray and Jerry for having the faith in me to come up here tonight and spend the next 40 or 50 minutes with you guys. Hey, are the Lillards here? If you've ever been to Glorieta on Student Week, you go there in College Week and you go to the service that starts at 7 o'clock and there are you think they sing a lot in Resonate. They'll do 10 or 12, you know, songs, and they'll sing He's My Friend about 45 times, and then they'll have a couple of testimonies and then a commissioning service, and then, you know, some missionary will come off the field and talk, and then they have the sermon. And it's 9:30 when you get done. So you get home and this, you know, 45-minute service just flies by. It's really true. Some people today just don't get it. Matter of fact, a lot of people today don't get it. There's one politician who might say, "Don't misunderestimate me." There's another politician that might say, "You didn't build that." There's a judge who might declare that baby is really just a mass of cells. And there's a scientist who might say this is all just a cosmic coincidence. Some people today just don't get it. When I was little, and there was a time, I was about 4 years old, and next door to my grandmother's house lived a lady named Marie Lord. And Marie was a world champion, national champion china painter. And she was already, you know, in her 70s or so when I would go next door. She had a collection of music boxes. And I'd go over and she'd wind them up and show me the workings and play and everything. Well, my parents and my grandma were over there visiting with her one night, and you know those fold-up construction rulers that carpenters, you know, use, and they fold up about this big? And I'm playing with it one night, and I walk up to the adult's table, and I said, "What's this?" And Marie says, "Well, that's a yardstick." So I ran over to the door, and I opened it, and I threw it out in the yard. Because it's a yardstick. And I obviously didn't get it. Well, tonight we're going to look at a couple of guys who didn't get it. And about the same time that I was throwing that yardstick out, when I'd go to the doctor's office or the dentist's office, there would be this little kids magazine in there. Some of you know the one I'm talking about. And it had a couple of guys in it named Goofus and Gallant. Remember Goofus and Gallant? Well, we're going to look at Goofus and Gallant in a little bit different way. Goofus and Gallant were two guys that would approach the same situation in different ways. And they would have different outcomes and that kind of thing. And so we're going to look at, first we're going to look at Goofus. If you know, and Ray stole some of my thunder this morning, but that's okay. If you know that John 3:16, we all know John 3:16, but if you know that that comes out of a conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, you're a Bible scholar, because I didn't realize that till about 12 years ago. But it's true that that comes out of, you know, John 3, obviously. And that starts with Jesus being approached at night by Nicodemus. And let's look at what it says. John 3, starting with verse 1. And this is, Roy just told me there's no such thing as a bad short sermon, so we'll make sure that this qualifies. Verse 1 chapter 3 of John. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said, what did he say? Did he say, you're right, I'm from God, nobody can do these signs, you're amazing, you hit it? No, that's not what he said. He didn't even answer Nicodemus's approach. I want you to see this. He says, the very first thing he says is, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Of course, then Nicodemus comes back with, how can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? Jesus answered and said, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed, I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Then Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we've seen. You do not accept our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. And of course, here's our verse we always see behind the goalpost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. Amen? Okay, we can all say amen to the word of God. That's good. So here's our goofus. Here are our points about him. Number one, he approaches with this, first of all, he kind of creeps in at night, but he approaches and says, hey, look, we know you're of God. You know, nobody could do this if they weren't. The stuff you do, it's amazing. You're of God. And what does Jesus say? You must be born again. So he didn't get it. Do you see the connection? Jesus knows before you even ask. Nicodemus approaches on this level, and Jesus responds on this level. Jesus knows before you even ask. And then Jesus also will poke at you. He will get your attention. He explains it. Nicodemus is like, I don't really understand. And he just, really? You're the leader of the Jews? You don't get this simple stuff? If you can't even get this, how can I tell you of bigger things? So Jesus knows before you ask. Really, you're the leader of the Jews, and you must be born again. Poor Nicodemus. He didn't get it. He approached by night, tried to charm his way in. He confused the physical with the spiritual. He basically threw his stick out in the yard. So now here comes Gallant. Here comes Gallant. And, you know, Gallant is another guy that approached Jesus, but he didn't get it. He didn't get it either. Listen to this. This is out of Matthew 19. Some of you will know this guy as the rich young ruler. And someone came to him and said, teacher, okay, he approaches differently than Nicodemus, but he says, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? How good must I be? Because I'm really good. Okay? This is Gallant. I'm good. I'm Gallant. And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. Of course, who's he talking about? Himself. He's talking about God. There's only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he said to him, which ones? He's winding up. He's going to throw his stick in the yard here in a minute. There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept. Think he's telling the truth? So he's breaking the one about thou shalt not lie right there. All these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, do what? Go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. When the disciples heard this, they were astonished and said, who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? So here's Gallant. He thinks he's good and righteous. And he walks up and asks Jesus, thinking he's going to get his ticket punched. And he walks up and says, so, Jesus, how good you got to be to get into heaven? Well, got to do all this stuff. Yeah, I've done that. You got to do this. Done that. Then go sell everything. You see, he wasn't looking for salvation. He was looking for approval. To be told he was good enough. He went away sad, for he had a bunch of stuff. There's a lot of us that have a bunch of stuff. But here's probably the most important thing. We don't know his name. Poor guy, he lied about keeping the commandments, and those are just the ones that dealt with man. He didn't get the answers he was looking for, and he bailed out at the end. He threw his stick out in the yard. If you don't see anything else tonight, if everything else is just kind of, you know, Charlie Brown's teacher, I want you to see this. Jesus didn't ask any more of the rich young ruler than he asked of the little boy with the fishes and loaves, or of the disciples, or he asks of you and me. The truth is, following Christ will only cost you everything. I'll let you in on a little secret. It's not the end of the story. Remember the old Paul Harvey, the rest of the story? Well, we're going to look over here in John 19 real quick. Chapter 19, starting with verse 38. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but a secret one for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate granted permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus, who had first come to him by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds weight. And so they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen wrappings with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, which no one had yet been laid. Therefore, because the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Do we get it? Do we see the difference between Nicodemus and the rich young ruler? Nicodemus has his name in the Word of God for eternity. We have no clue who the rich young ruler is. Our community, our nation, churches across the country, they're full of rich young rulers who think they are gallant. I have a church article that was given to me by one of my friends in the Joy class. I say a church article, a newspaper article. Wall Street Journal, about a couple of guys that were born twins, and then they were born Southern Baptists, and now one's a priest in the Catholic Church, one's a bishop in the Anglican Church. But it's interesting, this article, it gave some stats. I want you to hear this. More than half of the U.S. adult population has changed religious affiliations at least once during their lives, but most before they reach 50, according to the 2009 Faith in Flux report by the Pew Research Center. While some people leave their childhood religion only to return later. About 44% do not currently belong to the religion in which they were raised. Many people having gone completely. So, and I'm not talking about moving from First Baptist, whatever, to Quail Street. I'm talking about leaving Southern Baptist, not coming back at all. You know, we'll have hundreds of kids participate in youth group and less than 100 participate in college ministry. Where'd they all go? Where do they all go? Well, can you see we have a challenge? We're full of rich young rulers who just can't let go and give everything to God. You know, the truth is we want to have this positive self-image. We want to look in the mirror and see gallant. But the truth is we're all goofuses. We're all sinners saved by grace. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I'm going to say something. I hope I don't get in trouble. It's time to stop playing church and start being the church. If you pick up that children's magazine today, you may not even find Goofus and Gallant in there, because now we're politically correct and we don't want to hurt feelings and we don't want to label people and call people by name. Today the world will tell you there's no right and wrong. Today the world will tell you there's no black and white. But they'll spend millions of dollars telling you how many shades of gray there are. It's sad. The world no longer says Goofus and Gallant. It says go for it. Just do it. Well, as we approach the tomb, understand Nicodemus, he still testifies from the Word of God today. Can you imagine what his testimony would be? What would Nicodemus say? If Nicodemus walked up right now, what would he say? You know, we're doing this 4 for 4 thing, and we've got our people, and we've got our names, but what would Nicodemus say? He goes, dude, I was there. I went with the salad dressing, and we were going to spread it all over him, and we were going to spice him up, and his body was in the tomb. I came back 2 days later, and he's gone. He's alive. And then he reappeared to us. I was there, and he told me, you must be born again. I actually got it. And I want you to get it too. I just think Nicodemus would be excited. And we should be excited. So as we approach Easter and the tomb and we understand Nicodemus, we should be like that, ready to serve the Lord. Our 4 for 4 emphasis is a challenge for us to give our testimony. And I wanted this to be short so that we would have plenty of time to respond. Tonight's invitation is going to be super simple. Because the truth is, you're either a rich young ruler or you know one. I mean, that's just the honest truth. You're either a rich young ruler or you know one. Here in a minute, we're going to bow and pray, and musicians are going to come up, and we're going to have a real invitation. There are some people here tonight that, and when I say we're going to have an altar call, I mean, this altar is open. And you guys have people on your hearts, a family member, a neighbor, the person that cut your hair. And you've turned in 4 for 4 cards. My request to you, church, is, if there's somebody here that needs to make a decision, they want to join our church or they want to be baptized, talk to somebody, they don't want to be a rich young ruler, they can identify with him, they want to be Nicodemus. If you want to make a decision here in a minute, come forward and turn right and come over here. Everybody else should have somebody to pray for and should come down here and fill up this altar. We should be praying for our rich young rulers tonight. The Lord loves us. My wife and I were talking on the way home tonight that God doesn't bless us so we can be happy. We are happy when He blesses us. God blesses us so He can be happy. He blesses us to please Himself. He loves us and wants us to spend eternity with Him. So He also wants us to explain to the rich young rulers what Nicodemus would say to us now. Bow your heads and pray with me. Father, we know so many people who are rich young rulers. God, we know so many people that need you and so many people that won't have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, God. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here who would say, I've never been able to let go. I've never been able to give up everything. That they would come up and they would turn right and speak to someone. God, get some counseling tonight, Father, and learn about how to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, Father. But even more, I pray right now that we would come forward as a church and we would pray for our four. As the musicians play, you come, go pick your stick up out of the yard.